Well, something is indeed wrong in America. And many sense that changes in this nation's lifestyle are occurring. Most of us know full well that these changes are taking place. The newspapers are saturated with articles reporting the activities of those increased governmental spending for a variety of unconstitutional purposes. Organizations supporting a globalism concept urge the world to adopt a one-world government. Psychologists preaching the destruction of the family unit and recommending that the society rear the nation's children. Governments closing private schools and nations forming regional governments under which national borders are scheduled to disappear. And still the sheeple think that all of this is happening by accident. And any concept that it is being brought about by a carefully orchestrated plan is the product of crazy conspiratorialists. Since these changes appear to be part of the new philosophy known as the New World Order, anyone desiring to know the future has to become familiar with this new phrase and what it portends for the world of tomorrow, and you will quickly see that it is the result of a well-thought-out, well-conceived, and well-orchestrated plan. Indeed, it is called the Great Work. As an indication that major changes are coming in tomorrow's world, one of the current trends mentioned is the call for a one-world government. And one of those supporting this leap forward is Norman Cousins, president of the World Federalist Society, and he's on record as saying this, quote, "World government is coming. In fact, it is inevitable. No arguments for it or against it can change that fact," unquote. And I say that is a lie. 240 million Americans standing up in concert with each other, holding a rifle in their hands, can stop it instantly in its tracks. And that's the truth of why we were given the second article in amendment to the Constitution. It has nothing to do with hunting or preserving your private property. It has to do with preserving our freedom. The goal of a one-world government, folks, is not a new thought. One of the earliest formal organizations that supported the concept of that goal was the Illuminati, founded on May 1st, 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit priest, a professor at Ingolstadt University, a Jesuit university, a teacher of canon law. Professor Weishaupt was quoted as saying this, quote, "It is necessary to establish a universal regime and empire over the whole world," unquote. Now, let me tell you the truth about the Illuminati. Adam Weishaupt did not establish the Illuminati, nor did the Illuminati die with Adam Weishaupt. Make sure you understand that. A more modern organization that supports the coming changes is the Masonic Order, called simply the Freemasons, or for short, the Masons. Has nothing to do with bricklayers, folks. The term originally comes from the French, Free Maison, which literally means the Sons of Light. This worldwide fraternity has members in America, as will be discussed, and they too support a call for a one-world government. One who has written about this secret organization is Paul Fisher, and he says this about them in his book entitled Behind the Lodge Door, quote, "Masonry will eventually rule the world," unquote. Benevolent fraternal organization? Albert Pike, and you're going to hear an awful lot about Albert Pike during this series, the sovereign grand commander of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry here in the United States from 1850 to 1891, the man who founded the Ku Klux Klan and B'nai B'rith, wrote a book entitled Morals and Dogma. And when and if you can find that book, don't pass it up, buy it and read it. Mr. Pike has been praised by his fellow Masons as a member almost without parallel in the history of the Masonic Order. He was a great friend of Giuseppe Mazzini, the ruler of the European branch of the Illuminati. Carl Cloudy himself, a Masonic writer of great esteem, wrote this about Pike. Quote, "Albert Pike, one of the greatest geniuses Freemasonry has ever known. He was a mystic, a symbolist, a teacher of the hidden truths of Freemasonry," unquote. so the outsider can know that whenever Mr. Pike speaks, he speaks with authority and knowledge. He is perhaps the greatest Masonic writer of all time, and I would add next to Manly P. Hall. His book is given to each Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction Freemason who is asked to read it. There seems to be a difference of opinion as to whether or not this book is still required reading for each Scottish Rite Mason, as we were told that it was given to each Scottish Rite Mason in Tucson. Other Masons say that that is not true, but you have to remember they're sworn not to reveal the secrets of the lodge, and therefore you can never trust them to tell you the truth, no matter what they're telling you. But in this book, Morals and Dogma, Pike informs the new Mason about the moral teachings of the Masonic Lodge. He instructs the Masonic reader that the order will eventually be asked to rule the entire globe, and he wrote this, quote, "The world will soon come to us for its sovereigns and pontiffs. We shall constitute the equilibrium of the universe and be rulers over the masters of the world," unquote. He wrote this supportive statement in a book entitled Legenda, quote, "And thus the warfare against the powers of evil that crushed the order of the temple goes steadily on, and freedom marches ever onward toward the conquest of the world," unquote. Reference to the order of the temple is reference to the Knights Templars, who were destroyed in concert by King Philip of France and Pope Clement V. And the powers of evil referred to in this paragraph is the Christian church, the Christian religion, Christianity as a whole. Let me read it to you again, just in case you weren't paying attention. Quote, "And thus the warfare against the powers of evil that crushed the order of the temple goes steadily on, and freedom marches ever onward toward the conquest of the world," unquote. The order of the temple Mr. Pike was writing about was the Knights Templar, which was, according to him, quote, "devoted to the cause of opposition to the tiara, the Pope's triple crown, and the crown of kings," unquote. Well, then is it any wonder that the King of France and the Pope crushed the Templars in France? For that is the only place that they were truly crushed. Mr. Pike said that the Catholic Church was a power of evil because it had crushed the Templars, even though he admitted that they were devoted to opposition to the Church and its leader, the Pope. But the major point of that quote is that these forces of opposition, presumably meaning the Masons, are marching onward toward the conquest of the world. Mr. Pike repeated his devotion to the conquest of the world with this comment at the end of his book entitled Morals and Dogma, quote, "Such, my brother, is the true word of a Master Mason, such the true royal secret which makes possible and shall at length make real the holy empire of true Masonic brotherhood," unquote. Now, all of you Master Masons out there who've been writing me letters, don't write to me anymore. You are my enemies, and if I can, I will destroy you. Don't write to me and profess your innocence, for your own have proclaimed your guilt. And if you are truly innocent, then you're just a foolish dupe, and you better get out while you can. The major worldwide movement that champions a one-world government, folks, under a religious leader is a new phenomenon occurring worldwide called the New Age Movement, a creation of Freemasonry. The newspaper put out by the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry is called The New Age. Tex Mars, a researcher into this new religion, has written two books on the subject. Both of these books are excellent primers for those who wish to know more about the beliefs of this religion. The two books are entitled Dark Secrets of the New Age and Mystery Mark of the New Age, and he has written, quote, "The New Age movement has undeniably taken on the definite form of a religion, of course, because it is Mystery Babylon." He goes on to say, "complete with an agreed-upon body of doctrine, printed scripture, a pattern of worship and ritual, a functioning group of ministers and lay leaders," unquote. Another writer who has written two books on the New Age religion is Constance Cumby. Her two books are called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow and A Planned Deception. She has written this, quote, "The New Age movement is a religion, complete with its own Bibles, prayers, and mantras, Vatican City, Jerusalem equivalents, priests and gurus, born-again experiences, they call it rebirthing, spiritual laws and commandments, psychics and prophets, and nearly every other indicia of a religion, unquote. The new religion has a series of leaders. One is a woman named Alice Bailey, a prolific writer on the subject of the New Age. She was the founder of an organization called the Arcane School, one of the major Lucis Trust divisions. The Lucis Trust was a major publisher of books supporting the religion and published a newsletter or newspaper called Lucifer. In her book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy, she told her readers who the organizations were that were going to bring the New Age religion to the world, and she identified them as being, quote, the three main channels through which the preparation for the New Age is going on might be regarded as the church, the Masonic fraternity, and the educational field. And folks, that is exactly who is bringing it to realization. The main thrust of this program is going to be to examine only one of the three organizations mentioned by Alice Bailey. That being the Masonic Fraternity. There are numerous works by other writers, lecturers, researchers, exposing the involvement of the church in the educational field, in the New Age movement, and in the New World Order. So I'm not going to attempt to duplicate those efforts. However, only a few are aware of the involvement of the Freemasons, and that is why I have chosen to concentrate on that organization, Mystery Babylon. And the reason I'm concentrating on that organization is because it is their members who have infiltrated the church and the educational field who control those other two organizations. So really there's only one organization that needs to be dealt with, and that is Freemasonry. Another major writer on the New Age movement is Benjamin Krim, and he admitted in his book entitled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom that, quote, the new religion will manifest, for instance, through organizations like Masonry. In Freemasonry is embedded the core of the secret of the occult mysteries, unquote. So, Masonry conceals a great mystery inside its temples, one that is connected somehow to the New Age movement. The Masons admit in some of their writings that they too are anticipating a New Age, a series of major changes. Henry Clausen, the past Sovereign Grand Commander, the equivalent of their president of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, has been quoted as saying this, quote, we look towards a transforming into a New Age using, however, the insight and wisdom of the ancient mystics, unquote. The Masons claim that the things that they believe in are as old as the ancient civilizations. They also claim that these mystics, the ancient philosophers, had the wisdom of all ages and that somehow this knowledge has become lost through the centuries. Humanity today does not possess this knowledge, but it has become the task of the Masons and other truth-seekers who turn out in every case of investigation to be liars and deceivers and manipulators, to rediscover these principles for the benefit of all mankind. Those possessing this knowledge will correct the world's current problems. Some of the Masons also claim to have identified the cause of these problems. One of the most prolific writers on the subject of this lost truth, as I have mentioned earlier, is Manly P. Hall, a 33rd degree Mason. For those unfamiliar with the Masonic degrees, all Masons in America start through what is called the Blue Lodge, consisting of only three degrees. A Master Mason is of the third degree and really knows nothing, even though he thinks that he has been illumined, and I get letters from them all the time. I'm a Master Mason, and I never heard of any of the stuff that you're talking about. Oh, boy. It amazes me, folks. It just absolutely amazes me that people are so stupid. Drives me wild. The initiate into the Blue Lodge goes through three separate and different initiation ceremonies, one for each degree. After completing these ceremonies, he may stay where he is or choose to affiliate himself with either the York Rite, which has 13 degrees, or the Scottish Rite, which has 32, and then the meritorious 33rd. The latter is divided into two separate jurisdictions, the Southern and the Northern. And these are based primarily on state borders, and whether one joins one or the other depends on where the initiate lives. The two Scottish Rites have an additional 29 degrees, making for a total of 32. There is one more degree called the 33rd degree, which is honorary, and only a few are invited into that degree. And to even be considered, they must perform some major work toward the completion of the great work, which is the plan to bring about the utopia on earth, the socialist dream. The York Rite has a total of 9 degrees. However, since little has been revealed about this order, we will concentrate on only the Scottish Rite, and in particular the southern jurisdiction. Well, I've since discovered that the York Rite has a total of 13 degrees, folks, not just 9. Mr. Hall has written a book entitled Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, in which he talks a great deal about the Masonic fraternity. And this is his comment about the coming changes. Quote, "A new day is dawning for Freemasonry. From the insufficiency of theology and the hopelessness of materialism, men are turning to seek the God of philosophy." Unquote. Notice that Mr. Hall has said that current theology, obviously current religion, has proven insufficient. Also, he feels that materialism, meaning the right to private property, is also a failure. But more importantly, he points out that this new God of the Freemasons is somehow different from the God of the Jews and Christians. As will be illustrated later, some of the Masons believe that the God of the Bible is a God of evil. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, perhaps the founder of the current New Age movement, has also determined that the Masons are somehow supportive of her religious views. She wrote this in her book entitled The Secret Doctrine. Quote, "At the end of the 18th and the beginning of the 19th centuries, many Freemasons traveled to Tibet, where they were initiated into the esoteric, defined as intended for or understood by only a chosen few as an inner group of disciples or initiates, by an esoteric order of the Masters of Wisdom." Unquote. It should be expected that she would support the Masonic fraternity. In 1875, she founded an organization called the Theosophical Society, basically dedicated to teaching the world about her new secret religion. One of the earliest members of that organization was Albert Pike, later to become the sovereign grand commander of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Albert Pike, who later became a 33rd degree Mason, the highest degree attainable, also saw that there were some significant changes coming, and that he was supportive of those changes. He wrote the following in his book entitled Morals and Dogma. Quote, "We can look on all the evils of the world and see that it is only the hour before sunrise and that the light is coming." Unquote. Now, if Mr. Hall is right, the evils that his fellow Mason Albert Pike saw are connected to current religion, and that which is coming is somehow different from these religious views. Mr. Hall, who as mentioned previously is another 33rd degree Mason, also wrote that a new day was coming and that it was not too far into the future. Quote, "A new light is breaking in the east." The significance of the location, the east, I have already pointed out. It is the point where the sun rises. "A more glorious day is at hand. The rule of the philosophic elect, the dream of the ages, will yet be realized and is not too far distant." Unquote. So, Mr. Hall is also expecting that these changes are about to occur in the not-too-distant future. Someone who attempted to zero in on when these changes were expected to occur was Alice Bailey, previously mentioned. She wrote about when she thought the New Age would arrive. Quote, "Eventually, there will appear the Church Universal, and its definite outlines will appear towards the close of this century." Unquote. And you have already seen the emergence of the Universalists. Church. Since she wrote early in the 20th century, we can see that she was predicting the eventual arrival of the New Age sometime around the 1990s. This estimate of that date is not too far wrong, as will be demonstrated later in this series of programs. Whatever is coming in the future, some New Agers have told us that they expect that it will last for a long time. One such writer is Ruth Montgomery, who wrote that she saw that the new religion would rule the earth for 1,000 years. She wrote the following in her book entitled Herald for the New Age. Quote, "The New Age, the millennium, a millennium is a period of 1,000 years, will see an end to that strife, at least for 1,000 years, unquote. Now, just what the New Age religion that will last for at least 1,000 years on earth, what is it? One who attempted to answer that question was Constance Cumby in her book entitled The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. She wrote that these were the basic tenets of the new religion. Listen closely. The plan for the future includes the installation of a new world messiah, the implementation of a new world government and new world religion under Maitreya, an individual who will be examined later in this series of programs. 2, a universal credit card system will be implemented as a cashless society. 3, a world food authority will control all of the world's food supply. 4, a universal tax. 5, a universal draft. And 6, they intend on utterly rooting out people who believe the Bible and worship God and to completely stamp out Christianity from the face of this earth. As was discussed prior to this summary, certain people have indicated that they see the Catholic Church as an enemy. Here, Mrs. Cumby says that they see not only Catholicism as the enemy, they also see all of Christianity as an enemy. Whatever the New Agers believe in, folks, it appears to be growing in popularity. Bantam Books, one of this nation's leading publishing houses, has reported that the sales of their New Age titles has increased tenfold in the past decade. Time Magazine reports that the number of New Age bookstores has doubled in the past 5 years to a total of about 2,500. According to an article in Forbes magazine, quote, publishers estimate that total sales of New Age titles today are at least $100 million at retail, unquote. So, whatever they believe in, many believe in it. But perhaps the most insightful comment about the nature of what the New Age religion believe in and who they worship as their God was written by Mrs. Cumby in her book entitled The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. She wrote that they had, quote, the intent of bringing about a new world order, an order that writes God out of the picture and deifies Lucifer, unquote. So if Mrs. Cumby and the other writers on the subject are right, the New Age movement needs to be studied in some depth. We know that the goal of Freemasonry, at least that which is stated, is to bring about the new man, the illumined man, and the number of the man is 666.
Please, we're doing all we can for you. We're trying to bring you back down to normal size.
You do think I'm a freak, don't you? But you know, to me, you're the freak, the one who's different. I'm not growing, you're shrinking.
He started as a normal human being, but now each day he doubles in size.
Where will it stop? The amazing colossal man.
Colonel, he's been reported in Las Vegas. Impossible. How can he walk 120 miles in only an hour?
Impossible? Not when you're 60 feet tall. The amazing colossal man.
Now don't forget, folks, Monday, March 15th, 8 p.m. to 11, Lafayette Hotel, 2223 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego. I'll be giving a lecture, The Sacrificed King. Admission's $40. For CAGI members, it's $30. Once again, Monday, March 25th, 8 p.m., Lafayette Hotel, 2223 El Cajon Boulevard. Now, you want to know what we need to do, folks? I want you to listen to this closing song. Good night, and God bless you all.